I can say that I have never seen such sincere contrition and deep peace of mind, even joy in the face of death, as in this man. Truly, God is merciful and kind. He sends the Holy Spirit even to the greatest sinner if he repents and prays. Very often the Holy Spirit speaks to you through the inner voice, but you do not listen to it, you overcome it and the divine spark goes out in you. God is the light, he sends his sparks and rays into the hearts and souls of men through the Holy Spirit, but they do not want the spark to catch fire. Oh, kindle the divine spark in your bosom and work miracles before God and man through the power of the Holy Spirit. Student, thank you. Thank you, dear Augustine. Yes, it is true. I know, man has moments when he is touched and moved. Do you call this an inner voice? Augustine, yes, this. This inner voice lies in the bosom of every man. This is the divine spark in the immortal spirit that wants to be awakened and nurtured so that it can fully develop. Disciple, it was indeed this inner voice that spoke today through my little Elsa. Suddenly she exclaimed, "Good God, I love you so much." It was indeed this inner voice that surprised me the other day at my wife's grave, when I was suddenly seized by a peculiar feeling of well-being and pain, and I felt the ringing of these words within me, "We will meet again." It was as if I were in heaven. Truly there are moments of inner rapture and enlightenment in life. I want to awaken and nurture this spark now so that it does not go out. Augustine, as you wish. The more you cultivate this inner voice, the more clearly it will speak to you. It will lead you to a true inner life and will bind you to the Creator like a strong bond. Chapter 5 Worldly Goodness. Disciple, I was talking to a worldly friend of mine the other day, dear Augustine. He said, "It is indeed a beautiful thing to be a saint, but it is very inconvenient, all the pleasures of life are over. Why did God create the world and people? To enjoy themselves. If all people were hermits, the world would die out. If no one ate meat, the animals would eat us. If no one drank wine, ah, what a miserable life it would be. You see, I am a good man, although a cheerful fellow. My heart goes out to the poor, who are cold and hungry. I would take care of everyone's food and clothing if I could. But I didn't make them poor. That's part of life and it certainly has to be that way. Then we have warm rooms, soup kitchens, nurses. We do a lot for the poorer classes. There's the Poor People's Bazaar. The other day I gave the countess 100 forints for a tea rose. They're constantly pumping people up for the poor. You know, my dear friend, that there are many swindlers among the poor. People are lazy, they don't want to work. Everyone wants to be a great man, to sit in a tavern, to play politics. That's not right. Ask your Augustine once, am I not right? I couldn't calm my friend down at all. He kept talking like that. What would you have said to him, dear Augustine? Augustine, it is easier to pass through the rope than for a rich man to get to heaven. I would have given him the example of poor Lazarus and the rich man. I would have asked him to take the place of a poor day laborer for just 1 month and taste what the life of the poor is like. My dear friend, never desire wealth for yourself. Do you not know whether you, like so many others, would be selfish and whether you would make good use of the talents that God has entrusted to you for this short time? How few stand this test. It is your own poverty that teaches you to know poverty and that makes the heart sympathetic. Therefore, it is said that the poorer always gives more than the rich. All wealth is only borrowed wealth. Do not grumble if you are in need. Be glad if you do not know the superfluous. Money is a great temptation. It is the touchstone of the goodness of the heart. He who has little will find it easy to die. Such a one, who seeks the eternal, does not cling to earthly pleasures, has nothing to leave behind, and easily part with earthly life. The rich, on the other hand, clings to his wealth and death will be difficult for him. Chapter 6, On Spiritualism. Student, dear Augustine, since the death of my wife, I feel as if some invisible power is drawing me to God. You mentioned spiritualism once. What do you mean by it? Augustine, Spiritualism is a new name, but it is as old as the world. Spiritualism is the doctrine of immortality and includes all spiritual and philosophical sciences, all psychological phenomena, everything that extends into the world of the supersensible. The study of these spiritual and spiritual things is now very widespread. The followers of this doctrine have been given names, and they are divided into several camps according to their understanding. It is very right, then, my dear son, if you study spiritual things. The life of Christ was also a chain of supersensible phenomena. Once he conversed with the spirits of two dead men, Elijah and Moses, and the apostles saw figures of light standing beside Jesus. At another time he commands the evil spirits to depart from people. In the wilderness he sees and speaks to an evil spirit. Several times he is invisible, a voice is heard above him and the white dove and rays of light are seen hovering above his head. Christ reads the thoughts of men, he heals the sick, raises the dead, and after his death he communicates with his disciples as a spirit. Christ communicated this power of spiritual things to his disciples, who in turn communicated the same power to their disciples by the laying on of hands. This power is still there today, and those who work in the interests of spiritual things attract it to themselves and act through it. Are you convinced of immortality? Disciple, in any case. But I believe that the spirit is something quite different from man, so that I cannot imagine any communication between the two. Religion also teaches that the souls of the dead are either in heaven, or in hell, or in purgatory, completely separated from us. Augustine, these are just these false concepts. The change from man to spirit is not so great. Without the living spirit, the body is a dead mass. The spirit sheds this covering at death, but retains its spiritual qualities, sins or virtues, its individuality remains the same. The Apostle Paul says, "The mortal body is put away, the spiritual body is raised." This is true. Death is only a change of form. There is no real death, no annihilation at all. Student, but how are we to communicate with spirits? Augustine, by using and sharpening our spiritual senses, for just as well as you hear, see, taste, touch and speak with your human senses, you can do this just as well through your spirit through the medium of your spiritual body, you just have to develop them in yourself. For example, by prayer and by exploring your spiritual senses. The inner voice helps men to do this, which I have already told you about, this divine spark within us. Many people have talents that they are not even aware of. That peasant boy might have been a great artist if he had had the opportunity to study music, and that girl might have been a famous painter if she had awakened the talent that lies dormant in her. So it is with the spiritual gifts that lie within man. Student, so the spirit is the agent, the medium is only an instrument? Augustine, that is right. Mediumship is a talent that lies dormant in man, waiting to be awakened, nurtured, and developed in order to become public. There are mediums who write, speak, and heal automatically. Then there are clairvoyant mediums, and there are those who create physical phenomena. But there are, also, mediums who receive the messages as inspiration. Disciple, can it not be dangerous if a spirit dominates us and we do not know what we are writing or speaking? Augustine, certainly. That is why we must investigate these phenomena thoroughly. I cannot emphasize enough how important the character of the medium is. The medium must be pure, good, and above all, a lover of truth. We can protect ourselves from impure spirits just as we avoid the company of evil people. Disciple, but we see bad people, while we cannot perceive evil spirits. Augustine, naturally, if we are not clairvoyant, we cannot. But in mediums, spiritual sensitivity, spiritual senses, are very well developed. They feel the proximity of good spirits pleasantly, and that of evil spirits unpleasantly. We can, also, recognize them by their words and actions. But it is not easy to become a reliable medium. It requires strict self-criticism, prayer from a pure heart, and a great deal of willpower. Besides, Mediumship is a talent that one must be born with, which one must cultivate. It is not possible. But now let us see the spirit revelations that I received through a medium. A spirit appeared to the medium who wanted to talk about his many otherworldly journeys and experiences. He gladly let me write them down, because in the course of his stories many things that other spirits had previously said were clarified. This spirit, who had previously been in close contact with a medium on earth, was a woman who lived there, rich in virtues and intellectual talents. Many found her cold, but even more praised her compassion, kind heart, and love of truth. In her youth, her mind and heart struggled with each other. She only wanted to believe what she could understand. It was then that she became acquainted with the doctrine of immortality, spiritualism, which developed into spiritual knowledge in her, and she believed. She died filled with the belief in an afterlife. Another knew that he was immortal and, knowing that he had fulfilled his duty on earth, he died peacefully. No remorse of conscience disturbed the pleasant hour of his rebirth in the spirit world. Around his deathbed we see his children, but we also see the group of helpful spirit friends who await the liberated spirit. The physical struggle is over, he has breathed his last. His body is still warm, but the spirit is already free. Here stands his son, who preceded him, here his parents and siblings, surrounding the liberated spirit and covering it with their veil of light, quickly taking it out of the city, away from earth. The path they take describes a strip of light in the spheres through which they float. But let us, write for ourselves, Caitlin. Caitlin, I died with the sure knowledge of my immortality. I knew that there was an afterlife, I knew that my spirit friends would be waiting, so I died without worry. I gladly left the earth where I had lived for 73 years, knowing that my dear children also lived in the same faith and that we would meet again one day. My body, like an old clockwork, was already very shabby, so the spirit was easily released from it like a ripe seed from its husk. One deep sigh and I immediately felt free. My body, like an old garment, lay before me. I felt myself evaporating from it. At first it was just a breath, but then my form became more and more dense. I did not lose my consciousness and thought to myself, now the spiritual body, of which the Apostle Paul speaks, is being separated from the rotting body. This is how I saw myself a short while later, floating above my body in a new form, and at the same time I saw my son and all my loved ones who had passed away before me. There was a flood of light. They covered me and we were outside through the window of the room. My eyes looked at the bright sea of stars. How long is the journey? I asked. Yes, mother, far from earth, my son answered, which made me very happy. At that moment I felt as if I were lying on a cloud. It was so nice to feel the love of the spirits around me. They began a beautiful song that put me to sleep, but at the same time I felt so fresh and free. I felt as if I could stretch out, as if there had not been enough room in my body before. Some of the stars became bigger, some smaller. Then suddenly I felt like I was in some very rarefied air. We stopped. My mother's spirit came to me, gave me a few gentle strokes and said, "Cleanse your spiritual body of earthly dirt. Your fluid must be clearer, your spirit brighter." After each stroke I felt lighter and more ethereal, as if gray flakes had fallen from me. "Now pray," my mother said. I sang along with the spirits. We continued our journey until we reached the designated place. We always penetrated new spheres and ether layers. Our company increased. More spirits came with us, who also had to be in that sphere. Upon arrival, old acquaintances greeted us again. The joy of seeing them again was great. Question: can you tell me how fast your progress seemed? Caitlin: like the flight of a swallow. Question: so you changed your body twice. First when you died on earth, then before entering the higher spheres. Caitlin: yes. First a coarser spiritual body was formed. But later I had to peel off the fluids of these, which were rough for the atmosphere I entered, and my spiritual body became similar to that of the other spirits. My journey from Earth to the spheres lasted perhaps 3 earthly days. I am used to an active life. Just as God is eternally active. His work never ceases, so we must always work. After I had seen all my loved ones again, I longed for activity. My son and mother said goodbye to me and informed me that an examination of my life and conscience would follow, and only then could I become an active spirit. This examination must be passed by every spirit shortly after death. I found myself in a world worthy of the name of paradise. All around me was peace, love, and light. The work of the spirit, the reflection and examination of my whole life, had already begun. Everything passed before me again in the fluidic images of etheric light, which I was brought before my spirit what I had felt, spoken and experienced in my earthly life. Here there was no longer any secret. Everything would be exposed to the light, I thought to myself. How ashamed I was of some of my sins and injustices, and how I realized that I should be judged much more severely than someone else who had not had as much opportunity for education and knowledge as I had. I felt very small and miserable, and my life seemed very imperfect to me. After all, I had the gospel, spiritualism, so many good books before me, and yet I could not control my faults. For what people found good about me was not my merit, but God's grace. The time of examining and recognizing my true self in this way could be compared to a purgatory. But I came out of it clearer and stronger. Because I prayed, I begged for God's forgiveness and love, until the Lord Jesus himself appeared to me. How kindly and gently he spoke to me. To feel this love is already heaven itself. He gave me a guiding spirit, in whom I recognized my beloved, Betty. "Well, have you repented of your sins?" asked B. "The examination has clearly shown your mistakes. You will now study and travel. Then, when you have gathered experience, you can teach and lead others again. I will take you through the 7 atmospheric rings that surround the earth, so that you will have an idea of what is between the earth and the sun." Part 2: The 7 Atmospheric Rings Surrounding the Earth. Chapter 1: Introduction. The Earth is surrounded by 7 atmospheric rings or circles. Each circle forms a sphere of spirits. Each circle has 7 spheres. Many spirits who dwell in these circles believe that they inhabit a star, whereas it is only a sphere, a part of the sphere between the Earth and the Sun. These spheres are like small worlds in the space between the Earth and the Sun. They contain the map of the whole Earth. We find in them all the 5 continents, all the nations and religions of the Earth. Do not be surprised, therefore, if spirits from these spheres describe things as they find them there. Air, ether, spheres, everything is interwoven and saturated with living particles, which are the smallest living, indestructible elements. These particles group together, condense and form variously amplified spheres or spheres, which obey the law of gravity. These particles originally emanate from the light of the sun and unite with the outflow and atmosphere of the earth. The earth's rotation separates these atmospheric rings in which the spheres are formed. However, the force that creates the spheres lies in the particles. Note well that the atmospheric rings with their spheres are subject to the law of rotation and gravity, just as the earth is. Do not be surprised if the description of some of the spheres may seem very material to you, for it is so and must be so. Could not a brighter and more spiritual atmosphere surround the earth because of its radiation, which is still more material? Are not the spiritual phenomena experienced on earth more material? All the angels who appear in the Old Testament have human form. During seances where physical phenomena occur, spirits appear with weapons, jewelry, and bring cloth and flowers. Where would they get all this from if not from the 1st atmospheric ring surrounding the earth? Never seek such spirits higher up. And if a higher spirit brings you something material, he took it from this sphere too. People always seek everything far away, although it is often very close to them. This is the case with all spiritual phenomena and physical experiments. The means for this are in the atmospheric rings and spheres that make their rounds around the earth. Read the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans, part 1, verses 19 and 20, For what can be known all about God is evident to those who are enlightened by the Holy Spirit, for God has revealed it to them. For what is invisible in God is known and seen in the things that were created after the creation of this world. Romans 1:19-20 states that God's invisible attributes, such as his eternal power and divine nature, are clearly revealed through his creation, making his existence plain to all people and leaving them without excuse for not acknowledging him. In essence, what can be known all about God is made evident through his works in the world. Verse 19, for what can be known all about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Verse 20, for his invisible attributes, namely, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived, ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. These are the little things that come from God, and are further formed by grouping and compacting. The Quran adorns its paradise with earthly splendor. Here you see precious stones, palaces, and fragrant incense. The Catholics have their purgatory, their hell, their heaven, the Buddhists nirvana, the Indians hunting ground. Then there is Walhalla, Hall of Heroes, Olympus, and all kinds of images of the afterlife. Those who taught people these various views of life after death were not deceived, they spoke the truth. For all these things exist. In the first atmospheric ring, life is a purifying fire, spirits rise from this sphere purified, and in order to reach the second, they shed their spiritual body and take on a more ethereal body. Example, read this book, which otherwise has many examples of what is described in the next chapter. This is a certain kind of death. Birth is the higher. But let us begin our journey through the atmospheric rings. This was page 28, in the Hungarian book from which this is translated. Chapter 2 First Atmospheric Ring, First Sphere. This can be called hell. The characteristics of this sphere are, the sins of immorality and sensuality. It is under the influence of the zodiac of Mars and Scorpio. It causes the south wind, Samam, cholera, plague, and floods on Earth. Catiline, before Betty and I entered this circle, we were enveloped in coarser fluids, our spiritual bodies, or perispirits, were condensed to be more similar to the conditions and atmosphere of this circle. We call this sphere hell. By hell we mean the place of sin and torment, to which this sphere fully corresponds. The spirits suffer here physically, their spiritual bodies are so condensed that they feel physical suffering. In chapters 9, 31 and 32 we find an explanation of how the individual spheres, and the planetary and zodiacal spirits and elemental spirits influencing them, exercise physical and spiritual influence on the winds, events, diseases and qualities mentioned in the first paragraph in the introduction to the individual spheres. Many spirits have to atone in this way for their previous sins and debauchery. God also sends consoling and guiding spirits to this sphere. These unfortunate wanderers can only be redeemed from here by agonizing repentance. Some fall into a stupor, motionless, apathetic, and sleep, during which they are tormented by evil dreams, from which only physical pain can awaken them. They are helpless and treated like unfortunate patients. Here nature is like a desert, there is neither wood nor water, only sand, thorny bushes, and hot winds. Here the spirits even feel the human need for food and drink, without being able to satisfy it. Many who in their earthly lives had revelries, feasted, and were drunkards, here they hunger and thirst, they have to suffer terribly for the sumptuous meals. I cannot describe how terrible this sphere is. Pestilence, contagious spreads evils on earth. I heard two high spirits instructing and admonishing the poor lost ones, many cried and sobbed, others cursed or laughed loudly. Truly, here sin punishes itself. The evil inclination to which man gave in on earth and which he considered pleasure, here becomes hell. Immorality, carnal pleasures have corrupted and crippled these spirits. They still carry within them a tendency to wantonness without being able to satisfy it. One of the spirits who ruined himself with morphine was particularly shocking. The drunkard is like that, Each one cries out for the substance with which he had previously stupefied his senses. Good spirits have set up healing and reformatory institutions here for those who repent of their sins and want to learn. It often happens that groups of these spirits break through this sphere and rush down to earth. These are the spirits who roam around like roaring lions, seeking whom they can devour. They are called devils. How many among men are foolish enough to fall prey to them? In this sphere I found I, who had been in our service on earth for 30 years, but was an incorrigible drunkard, and drink killed him. He was very happy to see me. "How are you?" I ask. "Bad, very bad, I am always thirsty, I don't have a minute's rest, I am in a very unpleasant condition. I know I am dead. I must be in hell. Oh, save me, lead me away from here." It was such a strange feeling when I died. I was afraid of my dead body. I ran out and immediately reached a tavern, but to my horror I found that I could not drink, I could not digest anything anymore, and yet I continued to follow it. So I wandered from one tavern to another. Then a spirit came and said, "You are dead, leave this earth," and it led me here like some kind of dust bun. "Oh, please, now I want to confess everything. I was not as good as you thought, no, I was not as honest. Sometimes I even stole because I needed money to buy brandy. Oh, that brandy, it still burns in my stomach. Someone here told me to pray, but I don't have the courage." I advised the poor lost spirit to do good. I took him to one of the reformatories and asked for his admission, so that he might see his sin and repent. But the reformation of such a spirit is very difficult, and it only progresses slowly, because he often relapses and despairs. Then I met poor Countess A, whose condition was worthy of weeping. She had once been a frivolous woman who completely disregarded the sanctity of marriage. Later she became a morphine addict and a drunkard. In my memory stood before me the image of the once dazzlingly beautiful young girl I had seen on earth, and behold, what had become of her, poor wretched creature. I addressed her. "Ah," she said, "what a gentle voice this is, priestess. That's not for me." And she laughed loudly. "To live, to love, to enjoy, that was my motto and that will remain so. Yes, I died, but I didn't leave the earth. I am where there are many people, where they are happy, kissing and drinking. I go to every dispensary and suck up morphine. I need freedom." Thus her tongue kept circling. Anoth, he was a miserable, disgusting spirit. Only rags hung over him, barely covering his nakedness. He was surrounded by the reflections of his sins, which he had to carry with him. "Free me from these phantasmagoria," he said, "they are a burden on me." "You will not get rid of these images," I replied, "until you see your sins and repent." "It is terrible," he said, "will it last forever?" "I will only find myself in it, because I will not go to heaven among the saints. I would be bored to death there. I would rather be here among the scoundrels." He would not listen to any encouragement or advice. "Just don't pray for me," he said, "it will do no good. A glass of cognac would be much better." This poor spirit has saddened me immensely. When will it wake up to a better understanding? Only unbearable suffering and pain will bring him to his senses, because he will be taught to pray. I could paint here a picture of a man of licentious life, who occupied a very prominent position on earth, but who did not hesitate to resort to any means when it came to corrupting women and satisfying his sensual pleasures. The picture would be terrible. I cannot describe it completely. The furies literally whipped him. Even his most secret sins were revealed. He is chained helplessly to a point in this sphere, like some devil. He was called a devil on earth too. The feeling of his helplessness, his wickedness, his sinfulness must break his spirit. He lives in the sphere of prisons, where the chains of his crimes hold him fast. After a certain period of time, these spirits will be reborn again as criminals on earth. But let us leave this sphere and enter the second. Chapter 3, First Atmospheric Ring, Second Sphere. This sphere contains murder, war, duels and also hell. It is under the influence of Mars and Aquarius. It is a north wind, causing water danger and famine on earth. from the furnace heat of the first sphere. We came to a very cold, damp sphere, nature is dead and barren. Here we met many proselytizing spirits who take the executed from earth and try to awaken repentance in them. One spirit prayed loudly. They said that Francesconi, too, was the executed murderer. He addressed us.